In 1527, a Moroccan merchant turned slave named Mustafa ibn Mohammed joined the ill-fated Narvaez expedition to La Florida. History remembers him only as Estebanico, a footnote in Spanish chronicles. But what if he could tell his own story? Through Mustafa's eyes, we witness a profound journey across continents and identities, experiencing the brutal realities of conquest alongside moments of unexpected beauty and connection. His account reveals how quickly the powerful can rewrite history, erasing entire perspectives and lives. Yet beneath these official narratives lie deeper truths about human dignity, cultural erasure, and the universal search for freedom that resonate powerfully today. Mustafa's forgotten voice speaks directly to our modern conversations about whose stories matter and who gets to tell them. In Azmour, Morocco, Mustafa was a respected multilingual merchant. Born during a storm as his father recovered from battle, his mother believed this birth foretold transformation. Unlike his scholarly father, Mustafa thrived in the marketplace, mediating fair trades across religious divides. When drought struck in 1522 and his father died of fever, Mustafa became responsible for his family. Despite selling treasures, including his mother's gold bracelets, their resources rapidly diminished. After weeks of deliberation, Mustafa made an unthinkable choice, selling himself into slavery to save his family. For 15 reais, sent to his brothers, he boarded a ship to Spain. In Seville, his identity was systematically erased. Stripped of his clothes, he underwent a perfunctory Christian conversion and was renamed Esteban. Forbidden from speaking Arabic or praying, Mustafa maintained a silent connection with Allah. His only comfort came from another slave, Elea, who secretly revealed her true name was Rahmatullah, Mercy of God in Arabic, preserving hope that his identity might endure. In 1527, Mustafa joined the Narvaez expedition to La Florida as Andres Durante's slave. Governor Panfilio de Narvaez sought to claim this land for Spain, with his men reading the requisition to absent Indians, a declaration that revealed how these conquerors believed mere words created ownership. When Mustafa discovered a yellow pebble among fishing nets that the governor confirmed was gold, Narvaez split the expedition. Ships would sail the coast, while 300 men marched inland toward the supposedly wealthy Apalache Kingdom. The march turned brutal. At Rio Oscuro, they battled Indians, burying their own dead with ceremony while leaving Indian casualties in a heap. Apalache proved to be only a modest village, where Narvaez tortured prisoners demanding its true location. After burning Apalache and reaching the deliberately destroyed Ate, they found no ships waiting. With 42 men feverish, Narvaez made his final desperate decision: build rafts and sail along the coast, a gamble that would doom most to death. After a storm destroyed their rafts, Mustafa lived among various Indian tribes for years. Their fortunes shifted when Castillo successfully treated an Indian patient, establishing them as healers. With the Avavares, Mustafa's healing abilities flourished. He relieved a boy's headache through temple massage, and the boy recovered through God's mercy. Later, treating a neighboring tribe's cacique using his father's cupping technique from Azemmer elevated their status further. "Nothing new has ever happened to a son of Adam," his mother had told him. Mustafa created healing rituals blending European and tribal methods, drawing on memories from Azemmer. Mustafa's life transformed upon meeting Oyomasat, the Avavare shaman's daughter, tall with elaborate hair knots, who regarded him with mocking silence. Despite her independence, they married. When she traced his neck scar on their wedding night, Mustafa shared his complete truth. "This night marked the beginning of a time when I was no longer alone," Mustafa reflects. "I had finally stopped struggling against my fate." Their reputation grew until they were called Children of the Sun, traveling with guides turned disciples who spread tales of their healing powers. After 8 years in the wilderness, Mustafa and his companions encountered Spanish soldiers. like awakening from a long slumber into an unfamiliar world. Cabeza de Vaca immediately reclaimed his Spanish identity, introducing himself as the royal treasurer of the Narvaez expedition. Their return to Spanish society shattered their wilderness bonds. Despite promises of safety, Alcaraz attempted to enslave the Indians who had followed them. In Culiacan, these Indians were penned like animals. The survivors underwent transformation, hair cut, beards trimmed, and dressed in the governor's clothes that made Mustafa's skin itch. In the mirror, he saw a stranger. In Mexico Tenochtitlan, Viceroy Mendoza summoned survivors for official testimony. Over 2 months, Mustafa's companions reconstructed their narrative, a deliberate historical revision. They sanitized accounts, deflected blame onto Narvaez, and concealed violence against natives and indigenous marriages. Mustafa was excluded from these proceedings. During informal gatherings, their recollections diverged. Cabeza de Vaca insisted on perfect memory, while Durantes focused pragmatically on compensation. The resulting joint report became a masterwork of colonial documentation with deep omissions. As Mustafa notes, "I tell the true story." When Viceroy Mendoza selected Mustafa to guide Coronado's expedition to the Seven Cities of Gold, he glimpsed a path to freedom. This journey included only friars and amigos, Spanish allied Aztecs, unlike Narvaez's previous expedition. Oyamasot's pregnancy intensified Mustafa's urgency to escape. In Culiacan, Coronado instructed friars to document everything, promising rewards for discovering the Seven Cities while threatening punishment for betrayal. Traveling through the land of corn, Mustafa convinced Father Marco to let him scout ahead, signaling about settlements with different-sized crosses. With each town, he sent smaller crosses, until finally dismissing the last amigos from Jawica, freeing himself from Spanish oversight. Outside Jawica, Mustafa and Oyamasot experienced true freedom as they listened to their unborn child's heartbeat. The town walls reminded him of Azamor, his homeland. Though he would never return, perhaps his child might someday see it. Mustafa executed his final deception by sending injured men to tell Father Marco the Zunis had killed Estebanico, a story designed to discourage further exploration while allowing him to live freely among his wife's people. Lalami's novel examines who controls historical narratives. Mustafa declares, "I, bound by no such constraints as my Castilian companions, tell the true story of what happened." He hopes his account reaches his countrymen as truth disguised as entertainment. Stories sustain Mustafa throughout his journey. His mother taught him, "Nothing new has ever happened to a son of Adam. Everything has already been lived and told." The novel contrasts the sanitized joint report against Mustafa's honest account. While his companions omitted, exaggerated, and invented details, Mustafa reveals the expedition's cruelty, indigenous people's humanity, and complex wilderness relationships. By giving voice to Estebanico, Lalami reclaims a silenced perspective on colonization, restoring his original name and imagining his inner life, transforming him from footnote to fully realized human with agency and moral complexity. Mustafa ultimately reflects that true history emerges not from a single authoritative account, but from all voices, especially those traditionally silenced.